Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Today is the last Sunday in July, as you know, and we will enjoy our fellowship luncheon directly following this service, and everyone is invited. After the luncheon, there will be a baptism service and dessert at the Kong's residence, and we hope many will come to celebrate this joyous event. Directions to the Kong's residence in Gilroy are posted on the kitchen bulletin board. All other activities for this afternoon are canceled, and that includes the 2 p.m. service at Pacific Hills Manor, which is also canceled. Also, we'd like to bring your attention to the quarterly congregational business meeting following the morning worship service in 2 weeks on Sunday, August 13th, and we encourage you to attend this meeting if you're able. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 36, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Let us continue our worship with hymn number 175, Standing on the Promises.
Thank you.
please stand now as we sing hymn number 402, Faith is the Victory.
Please remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence in the name of our High Priest, the Lord Jesus. And in Thee, Father, we are glad that we have a day on every week in which we pause from the activities of life and worship You in a spirit and in truth. We remind ourselves of the family of God here at Bethel, and we are so glad that Benjamin Hudson and Tia Pop have started life right in their marriage relationship, and we pray that the wedding that took place yesterday will continue in their life forever as You command us to be married without being divorced. Thank You, Lord, that they choose the way of God, and they testify to their family and to their friends of their faith. Father, we pray for our wonderful jewel, Loretta Forrest, who is coming to the end of her life, and we pray for the comfort and the strength at these very special moments in her life. Thank You, Lord, for what Loretta Forrest means to us, and Lord, we pray that You cover her with Your grace, even at these moments in which You are guiding her to be in Your presence. Lord, for our friend in Costa Rica, Jerry West, now in Alaska and soon back in the United States to be checked for his cancer difficulties. And we pray that he will be found with relief as he's checked in the Houston hospital. Lord, we are glad that Donald McDowell, our wonderful family, after being so sick, he's now improving and he's away and vacation, and we are thankful, Father, for Your care and Your love. Lord, we are grateful for our missionaries who expand our church via their life. We pray for Fred and Carol Lewis, and for Carol's surgery coming up soon, for Carol and Ruth Knott as they minister in Seville, Spain, for Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, Spain, for David and Denise Rode in Lore in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano as they develop the church in Guatemala, for Martha Peretti as she assists and works with people in the rehabilitation center in Argentina, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center right here in the city of Gilroy, for the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and for Daniel and Miriam Lacey and the Motorsport Ministry, and for Daniel today, Lord, as he ministered and shared his life with people in the San Jose race. We thank You, Lord, that we can expand our ministry also over the radio and KKMC, over the internet, the tape ministry, the CD ministry, We do all of these so that people may know Jesus, who is not only a great prophet and a great master, but to us, to those who believe, he is our high priest, our God, the very essence of God right here on earth. We thank you, Lord, for Israel that brought the Messiah to us, because the Messiah brought peace and brought joy and everlasting life. And we pray that as we go through this service, through the choir presentation of music to praise your name, through the reading of God's word, and then the exposition of God's word, we pray that we who are believers may rejoice and may get a new and fresh insight into the word of God. And for those who are unbelievers, they may be able to see that we believers are the ones who trust the word of God. And we pray for those who do not trust, because we were there before. And we pray that God in mercy will guide you and give you the faith that you need in order to believe. Lord, we have a fellowship after the service. Always is beautiful to share our life with one another. And then today we have baptisms. People who want to say, yes, I believe. And God, you wrote in the Bible the way that we should testify about that belief. We should stand and said the waters of baptism symbolize the death and the resurrection of Christ, and I believe it. And so, Father, we pray for David. We pray for Christina. We pray for Devin. How wonderful it is that we have the opportunity to be able to say these three people will testify today of their faith in Christ. Thank you, Father. And Lord, you are a gracious God, and you provide for the ministry of this church through your people. These are people who love you, and that's where they give the offering. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated, please.
Now, and turn to the book of Proverbs. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 388. We will be reading the third chapter of Proverbs, verses 1 through 6. Would you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Blessed is God's word. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are a God of mercy and truth. We thank you for the gift of faith, that we have come to believe all that is written in the Scriptures and look to them. And look to you, Father, for wisdom and guidance. But most of all, that through them and the power of the Holy Spirit, we have come to know you and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We pray for understanding in accord with your word and the ability to know and keep your commandments. We are grateful for your providence in all circumstances. We pray now, Father, for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him with all wisdom to bring the message from your word, and that we may understand and apply this teaching to our lives every day. May all who listen on the radio and internet and tape and CD be blessed by the exposition of your word which endures forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And as you know, we are in the morning worship service engaged in the study of this book of Proverbs for 31 Sundays. There are 31 chapters, and take the key, the heart of every chapter, and meditate upon it. And to me, the book of Proverbs are the basic biblical laws of life. You can zero in on each chapter, find the key, the heart of the chapter, and you will have a key law that will give you direction in your life, and is the law of God, which is pure. Chapter 1, the first law that we learned was the law of knowledge. We must know God first. That's important. If you do not know God first, then you'll come up with all kinds of ideas and all kinds of thinking. We see that in the Congress of the United States. We see that on the newspapers. We see that in the advertising on television. They got the best ideas they can, but the fact is that sometimes they are very wrong, and the reason is they do not know God. The first law you need to know is the law of God. You're going to get married, you need to know what God said. You are a child in a home, you need to know what God said to behave and how to respect and honor your parents. You're a husband, you need to know what God said. You're a wife, you need to know what God said. The first law of knowledge is the law of God. That's why it's so important that before you are 2 years old, your parents have read the scripture to you and talk to you from the scripture. That's very important. The second law, chapter 2, remember we studied, was the law of wisdom. And wisdom, according to the Bible, is the application of God's knowledge. That's wisdom. You may be an engineer, you may be a medical doctor, you may be a lawyer, a garbage collector, a mechanic, whatever you are. But if you do not have God's knowledge, you have no wisdom. And I say this very bold. I have few degrees myself that mean nothing if I have not the knowledge of God. That's so important. It's so important. All right, now today we come to our next study, chapter 3. Our brother read the first 6 verses. And this is the law of faith. Let me read it for you again. I'm reading from the King James Version in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. We will look in few scriptures, of course, during the course of the exposition. We'll maybe look on the 30 or 40 scriptures to see what God said. But here is the heart of chapter 3. All right? Trust in the Lord. And you notice the Lord, capital letters in the King James, a new King James. Capital letters means it's a replacement for the word Jehovah, which is the name of the God of Israel. He said, trust in Jehovah with all your heart. And the Hebrew said, with all your liver. He said, you're my liver. Well, the liver is the most important part of your body to the Hebrew people. And so they have that word. And I guess the English, the heart is the most important part of the body. They translated the heart. But it's your being, okay, the whole being, the whole you. Trust in the Lord with the whole of you and lean not to your own understanding. That's very hard to take it. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. These words are the charter and the compass of every Christian. These words that we read are the charter and the compass of every Christian. See, the scriptures inform us all along that we shall live by faith. Let me give you some examples as an introduction. If you turn your Bible to the book of Habakkuk, which is in page 546, you find Jonah and then you find Micah and Nahum. In Habakkuk, you will see there in the book of Habakkuk how God is speak in such a wonderful way. Chapter 2, verse 4. Look at what God said to Israel. Habakkuk, page 546, chapter 2 and verse 4. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. But look at what he said to the believer. Habakkuk 2 in verse 4. Look at what he says. But the just, that means the person who is justified before God in the Old Testament as he believed the sacrifices, in the New Testament as you believe in Christ, but the just shall live by, not the faith of his parents, but by his faith. I asked some people, you believe? Oh, my parents are Christians and they are wonderful Christians. But they are not. Oh, I go to church. You don't live by the faith of your church. You don't live by the faith of your parents of the scripture. You live by your faith. Have you found faith? See, that's what the scripture said. But the just shall live by faith. Now, if you turn to the New Testament, and it's the same story. You go to Romans 1:17, page 662. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, and that will lead you to page, 662. And in Romans 1:17, Paul, after making a clear statement about the gospel, he said, for in it, in the gospel, is a justification or the righteousness, the German word righteousness, all right, of God, is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, and he makes a quotation of Habakkuk. He said, look at what he says, the just shall live by faith, or as the original said, is a word that's called a genitive, means out of his faith. You have faith, the whole full faith that you need to believe. All, you are loaded. The day you got saved, you are loaded with the faith of God, and you live out of that faith your life. You go to the manna of your heart, and out of that faith, that's the way you should live. Now, the famous verse of the Bible is, move the Bible to the right a little bit, 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, in verse 7, page 681, if you're using our Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. This is the most famous verse that Christians know. It says, for we walk through, that's the word that you have to use, we walk through faith and not through sight. The word that is used over there is a word that in Spanish means light. Dia, that's the Greek word dia, means through. You don't open the door, you go through the door. Of course, you get hurt if you do that. But that's the idea of God. You walk through faith. You don't try to go around faith. You don't try to jump faith. You have to believe. You are in moments in your life. There will be moments in your life where everything is impossible. Everything is just blocked. So if you are right before God, you just go through. You maybe have a court case. And we have some gentlemen here who have court cases where everything was blocked. But you know what is truth. You go through. And then you go through. And you say, wow, that really works. It really works. You do what is right. I met a few soldiers yesterday in a wedding. And some of them were believers and some of them not. And some of the soldiers told me, it's hard to believe that God is going to protect you. But when you are on the street and everybody leaves the street, he said, and nobody is there, you know that, oh, there is a bomb or somebody is going to come with a machine gun. And then you say, where is God? That's what the soldier told me. Amazing. Amazing. See, we walk through faith and not through sight. Some people say, well, if I don't see it, I don't believe it. Well, you don't see electricity and you believe it. Is that right? Who saw electricity? You jump and it's on. Do you saw it? You say, well, it's, scientifically I can prove. Do you saw electricity? You see? Do you see it? Do you see the light? If you, I take off the light, you see a sparkle. So now, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and study one thing. What are the demands of faith? What really faith require? I have put an outline for you, but I maybe go a little bit on the side of the outline, but the outline is the basic thoughts of my heart. There are three things that I want you to know about faith. First, the decision to trust. We say in psychology, the decision give you direction, and direction give you destiny. And it's good for God too. You say, there is no God that give you the direction of your life. The destiny is hell. I don't lie to you. I just tell you. And you said, the decision of my life is God. God, where are you? And then God's going to meet you. And your destiny will be heaven. So I want to talk about the decision of trust. I'm going to pull those verses and those little words apart for you. Then the devotion of trust. Not only I made the decision to trust, I had to have a devotion, a passion. If you are, I met the groom yesterday alone, and I said, well, I hope Benjamin Hudson. I said, Benjamin, I hope you take care of Tia. She looks so good and wonderful. And I hope you have a great honeymoon. She said, Pastor, I don't want to go honeymoon. Why? Boy, who's the baseball team in San Francisco? The Giants? The Giants are playing here and I want to see the game. And I said, I said, Benjamin, I don't hear you. Can you imagine? And I'm glad that his wife did not hear it. The devotion of trust. You know, when you are 20 and 21 or 22, those things happen. Now, the direction of faith. Remember what I said? The decision of faith, it will give you direction, and the direction will give you destiny. We won't talk about that direction, where faith will lead you, so you are not afraid of, because we have a document here called the Word of God, and we'll tell everything about it. Well, we're going to work. First, the decision of trust. Look in verse 5. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 said this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now I am going to work on the word trust. Trust. Now, you know, trust is a verb as it's written over there. And you know, as far as you remember grammar, there are different stages of the verb. One is called imperative. That means must be done. I call my mother imperative because when she says something, oh, I do it, oh, I got it. All right, imperative. All right. Now, The Hebrew language is a little easier than our language. We don't have definite this, this. We have qual, nifan, and all kind of things. And in the qual version of the verb means that what I said have no option. I say it and that's it. That's the kind of verb that you learn. And when your parents talk to you in this way, that means you cannot speak because there is no options left. That's the way the word is phrased. Now, happen to be that the word trust is one of them. Trust with no options. So my translation is unconditional surrender. That would be the best way to translate trust. And so I read the verse as unconditional surrender in the Lord with all of you. Unconditional surrender to the Lord with all of you. And it's not an option because there is no options. All options are gone. God, who created language, dictated to Solomon, who was writing to his son, that word in the qual form, so that when he wrote it and his son read it, he get mad about it because there is no option on it. You know, when my father used to say, my mother always talked to me and used to say, we have to do this, we have to clean the floor here, we have to do this. And I said to my mother, what are the options? And flaff in my face for answering to my mother. Then I knew was no options. Trust. Surrender. Unconditional surrender. And now come the word Lord. You see it? It's in your Bible in capital letters. I hope so. That means Jehovah. And the Spanish Bible is the word Jehovah, which is more close to the original. All right? Trust in Jehovah. Now, who is Jehovah? Well, every Israelite knows who is Jehovah. Put one hand in Proverbs and go with me to the second book of the Bible, in the book of Exodus, in chapter 3. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 3, is where Moses is called by God. In chapter 2, Moses comes into the picture, is born, and the Bible quickly moves to chapter 3, where he is called by God from his place. Now, if you look in verse 14 on that chapter, then you find that word Lord, but now in English it's spelled Jehovah. Look at what the Bible says. And God said to Moses, I am. That's the word Lord, that's the word Jehovah, who I am. See, Moses, God said to Moses, you need to go back to your people. Now, Moses is 80 years old. And he said, hold it. They are looking for me because I killed a guy in Egypt illegally. So they are looking for me. When I go back, they will not believe me, and they will say, who sent you? Give me a little, would you print, please, a little business card for me? So I go and I don't blame Moses. All right? Who knows Moses? 40 years after. And so God said, I print it for you. Tell him that I am Yahweh, Jehovah. See? I am who I am, Yahweh. And you know what happened? The Hebrew had no more present tense. I am and I am. And when you speak Hebrew, either the action is past or the action is future. But when you say I am, you are speaking of God. Because God is always there. So you tell him, I am who I am, send me. Now, when we come to the New Testament, who is our I am? All right? Jesus used that word in the Gospel of John in chapter 8, this verse 58, page 628. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, at the very end of chapter 8, page 628. Now remember, God said to Moses, Yahweh, I am who I am, just send you. Now, 628, page 628, Gospel of John 8, 58. The Pharisees, the doctors of the law, they were really harassing Jesus. So he's going to cut it right on. And look at what he says in verse 58 of the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. He said, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, what word is there? I am. Is it in capital letters, I am? It is. Because it is ani, the Greek form of Yahweh. Now, if I go, I try this. And Leo, you were not there, but one day in the coffee shop, to the people said, I am Gabriel Otero. I was born before my brother. And nobody cares. I said, but I am. And nobody cares. Now I said, gentlemen, I said in the coffee shop, they're all there. If somebody come here and said, my name is I am, what do you say? He says, crazy. But if you were a Hebrew, you will not say it. Look at verse 59. Look at what happened in verse 59. Then they took up stones to throw at him. Why were you trying to kill somebody who say I am? Because I am to a Hebrew means Jehovah, means God. Do you see it? And so the decision to trust, the first part of the verse, going back to Proverbs 3:5, is trust in the Lord. Surrender unconditionally to Jehovah, to Jesus Christ. No combinations of any kind. No changes of any kind. That's it. Surrender unconditionally to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second part of the verse is this. In Proverbs 3 and in verse 5, we go over there. Trust in the Lord. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. It is a renunciation of self, no personal opinion. So the decision to trust with no personal opinion. In the counseling table, people come and said, well, it's my opinion. Now, when you trust the Lord, you cannot say to God, okay, God, you said this in the word, but it is my opinion. Keep it to yourself. Because it's not good. You see it? The decision to trust is, I want to trust God unconditionally. I surrender to him, and I will never think of myself anything. I only going to think what he thinks. Now, that is very hard. Very hard. When you go and to be a soldier, he can tell you that's what you do in the army or in the navy. You surrender your life, and they mold your life. And if you don't do something funny, they know how to torque you. You surrender your life. But God does the same. If you are a Christian and you deviate a little bit, then God, they bring you in, whether you want it or not. See, God is God. You cannot overrule God. Isn't that beautiful? The decision to trust. When you said, I trust in the Lord, you are saying to me, I surrender unconditionally my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have no opinion of myself except his opinion. Wow, that's Christianity. It has nothing to do with Catholicism, had nothing to do with Protestant, had nothing to do with anything, had to do with the Word of God. That's what the Word of God demands. Wow. Wow. The father of the groom came to me after the ceremony and said, we have a beautiful body, beautiful, and Eagle Ridge in Gilroy. You have to see the place. First class. Of course, they have first class pastor. They have first class. You know what he said to me? He said, it's very hard to take it from the Bible. And I'm a Christian. But marriage in this condition, and only I said, a man needs to be married a woman, and these are the conditions. And I read the scripture. He says, very hard. It is. Ladies and gentlemen, to become a Christian is not just to sign a membership in a church. It's not just to say, I believe. It is hard. If you have not the faith of God in your heart, it is impossible, I will say. All right? The decision to trust. Remember, have you taken that decision? There were three people will be baptized today who told me, I trust unconditionally. I surrender my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to testify about that. All right? Number two, the devotion to trust. Look in verse 6 now, verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know what a CEO is? Is a chief executive officer. I worked for 29 years under a chief executive officer. I was the guy who executed him. I went many times to New York, got 7-8 managers. They said, we want to do the radio in this way. I said, very sorry, guys. The guy on the top said, this is the way it should be done. Either you do it or I fire you. Wait a minute. But Pastor, you don't understand. I don't understand either. But the guy on the top said, this is the way it should go. Maybe crazy, maybe too old because he want old music, whatever he wants, maybe, but he is the chief executive officer and I will execute whatever he tells me. And that's what I'm in his position. And we should not spend this money, we should spend this money here and not there, and watch out what you do because you flew through the window. And I said, well, why? Because he is the chief executive officer. And I'm here to please him so that he can do his ministry. Now, what the Bible said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Jesus is the chief executive officer. God is the chief executive officer. And in all your ways, is that clear? I love the clarity of the Bible. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And I just go because I was planning to go scripture by scripture by the clock. But I mentioned to you, all right? I mentioned this to you. As a child, what the Bible said, Ephesians 6:1, children, apokuo your parents. Listen to your parents as you listen to a sergeant when you are marching. That's the vocabulary of the original language. When a sergeant said, conversion, one, you don't say, well, I'm thinking about it. That's the last time you think like that. So here's what it is. Children, you obey your parents. I know this. I have preached in many Christian schools, and they I said, any question? They raise their hand and said, are we to trust our parents when they are right? Or when, and what if they are wrong? If they are wrong, you trust your parents. God take care of your parents. You don't take care of your parents, God take care of your parents. See, that's what it is. You trust God with all your heart. As a wife with an unbeliever husband. You have a wife with an unbeliever husband. What do? 1 Peter 3:1 said, you submit to him, so without preaching to him, you win him. Oh, that's very hard. It is, but it's God's plan. Oh, it looks like impossible. It is, but it's God's plan. And I'm a witness that in the Lord's Supper at the end of the year, in the first church that I pastor, one man stood up at the Lord's Supper. I knew him for years. He came to visit the family. He was an unbeliever, super unbeliever. He stood up and started crying. And I said, wait a minute, why do you cry? Are you a man? He said, Pastor, you don't know what happened to me. He told me about his conversion. You know what he said? For 58 years, I really did bad to these women. Thank God that they give a long life, no? 58 years of marriage. I thought that she was crazy, and she married me. And she said, will you speak? I said, yes. He said, I did a mistake. I married an unbeliever, and I suffered for 58 years. But today, he's a believer. Isn't that amazing? It is amazing. She said, what do you did? Give me the formula. I just did what God said. I submit to him, did everything he wanted. When he said, you don't go to church, I don't go to church, and I read my Bible in home and cry. And then he got compassion, let me go. He said, don't give money in the church. I don't give money in the church. He said, I did everything the Bible says. Submit to your husband. And now he's a believer. Bible works, fellow. No, in our time, no in our schedule. Don't make that mistake, young people. But the Bible works. Now, what about as a husband? Well, let me turn some scripture. Go to Colossians. If we go off the air, that's all right. Go to Colossians chapter 3. And Colossians chapter 3, page 695 in your Bible, Colossians chapter 3, we learn a few things the Bible says. This is the devotion to trust. Look at what the Bible says to a husband. Husbands, verse 19, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Don't get mad at your wife. Husband, you cannot get mad at your wife. Oh, she don't understand. You cannot get mad at your wife. That's what God said. And you said you trust God unconditionally. So you pray for your wife. You beg the Lord for your wife, but you don't get mad at your wife. All right? Now look for a wife. Verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord. The Lord said, it's good you do that. When you submit to your husband, then you're submitting to me. Isn't that fantastic? I talked to one of the sisters, or the one I married yesterday, and I said, you know, this is what the Lord said. She said, why do you say a woman should honor and respect the husband? Because God says so. She said, well, I will never do that. Well, the day you believe, you will. And she looked at me like that, and they see very far away. Now, It doesn't make sense to an unbeliever, but it makes sense to a believer. That's what it is. Now, you're an employee. You don't need unions. Sorry, Leo. You don't need unions. All right? Look at chapter 3, verse 22 of Colossians. Look at how God called an employer. Bond servant. Imagine if I stand as a CEO of a company and I said, to all of you, my bond servants. Boy, the people will jump, no? Okay, bond servant, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service, not when they are watching you, as men please, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. You're working for God. You see, you say you believe, you do all of this. That's a devotion to trust. A lot of people say, I believe, and they live their life like there is no God. No, sir. This hour in the morning is just to feed you so that you can have in your life the source of God's word so that you can practice every day. You are working. I work as an engineer. I work in many other fields, and I have bosses who were impossible. But you know, I learned the trick to work and to take it in and don't say a word. And that one day only they dismiss me. He said, "We want to fire you." What? How wonderful! I said, and I have a lot of books in my office and so on. And so I went upstairs to the owner of this company, and I said, I want to say hello to you. The boss downstairs, he dismissed me. He said, they don't need me anymore. So no, we need you. I said, well, no, did he say no? Well, I tell you, let him fire you, and I hire you here. And I don't say anything. I don't say anything at home. I went home. The next day, I move in my office, and my boss came in. He was a German. I don't know Germans, you know. And he came to me and said, where are you going? I'm going upstairs to the office of the boss. So what are you going to do there? I'm going to work for him over there. Oh, he blew up. But I say one thing. I said, well, if you dismiss me, I go to the next company 2 blocks from here, and I tell you all the secrets of your factory. They cannot dismiss me, see? You're never down. When you're a believer, you're never down. Whatever God does, he does for good. And you walk through that if you believe. If you believe. Now the direction of faith. You say, well, Pastor, if I believe, where am I going to end up? Let's go back to Proverbs 3 and in verse 6. The first part, remember, is the devotion. You have to acknowledge God and everything. And then he said, and he shall direct your path. Proverbs 3, verse 6, the second part. And he shall direct your path. Now, I have to then pull the words again. The first instruction is that God has power to remove obstructions in your way. The word direct your path is the word to make things plain. It's not only giving you instruction, but make things plain. You have a mountain, God comes through, it's flat. That's the word. And it's a beautiful word. That to make it plain. God will give you instruction, and whatever is in front of you, he will make it plain. That's the direction. Don't be afraid. The direction, if you are doing God's will, you will find one obstacle after the other, so that you know that God is there, but God will make those obstacles plain. Then, look in the verse again, that it's clear, and he shall direct your path. In other words, God will give you all the instructions you need so that you will accomplish his will. Now, I'm so glad we have an example in the Bible so that you get a picture of what God is willing to do with you when you surrender your life unconditionally to him. Let's go to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, all right? Page 141, Joshua chapter 1. And many of you know this by heart, but I will just, as you look in Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 1, let me tell you that at this time, the great leader of Israel was Moses. 40 years, Moses communicated with God and gave direction to Israel. This is the way to God. This is the way to turn. This is what I do. Now he died in Mount Nebo in Arabia, which is Saudi Arabia today. And Joshua was his commander in chief for 40 years. He was a second man. And the Bible says in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, because there is Joshua the priest also, Moses' assistant, or Moses' commander, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, the commander-in-chief Joshua had never been in Palestine. He doesn't know how big are the mountains. He doesn't have internet and CNN to know. So God is saying, after you cross the Jordan, he doesn't know how deep is the Jordan. After you cross the Jordan with all these 6 million people behind you, you go into the land that I promised to Abraham. I'm going to give you that. He doesn't have no idea what is the land, how big is the land, how wide is the land, what is the north, what is the south. He is right there. Amazing. Look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, it's done. When you walk and you go to the battle, believe me, it's done. If there is no sin in your life, it will be done. There is nothing to be afraid of. Now remember what the text was saying, and he shall direct your path. This is the way God directs the path. Joshua, wake up. I need to use you. I need you to cross to this field. You never have been there. You don't know what's going on. You don't know where the mountains are. You don't know where the cities are. But I tell you, as you advance with the 6 million people, every time you put your foot on it, that's your land. You don't have to worry about it. You read the book of Joshua. There's a lot of blood in the book of Joshua and a lot of battles. Now, let me give you an idea what instructions will God give to a general, an expert five-star general, Joshua, 40 years in service. What instructions will he give him for the war, for this remarkable Jew? Verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8. Same chapter 1. Be strong. Some people told me, was Joshua a coward? Well, I'm a coward if I had to do that. Go into the unknown. Be strong and of good courage. For to these people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. In other words, don't have options, no opinion of yourself. Verse 8, this book of the law, the Pentateuch, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Here it is, Joshua. Here is what you need to do. Here is my Bible. Here is the Bible that will make you successful. Now my question is, Joshua finished the job. Did he finish the job? Yes or not? Yes, he did. If you go to chapter 21 of the book of Joshua, you see how God have accomplished the goal and gave Israel all the land. Look at in chapter 21 of the book of Joshua and in verse 43, please. Chapter 21 and verse 43. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he has sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwell in it. You remember why? Because in chapter 24, verse 15, Joshua said, you do what you want, he said to the people, but I and my house will serve the Lord. See, one man. God doesn't need an army, missiles, tanks. God needs one man who surrendered his life to him entirely. And who said, Lord, here is me. I have no opinion of myself. Do what you want. And then God, that man conquered the whole land. What is the key to success? Look in your Bible in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 22, page 592. This is my, in a nutshell, the sermon today. Peter is around the corner, a year before they had been there with Jesus, and there was a fig tree. And Jesus said, if this fig tree do not have figs next year, it will be dry out. 1 year passed by, and the fig tree is dry out. And Peter said to Jesus, oh, Jesus, whatever you said came about. Look at now verse 22. Have faith in God. You may be said, well, Pastor, how? That's what the father of the bride told me. How? Can I have faith in God? Well, you cannot buy faith in the pharmacy. You cannot go to Dr. McCormick and say, will you give me a shot of faith? You cannot go to any place. But you can go to the Bible, remember? Romans 10 and verse 17, page 667. Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith, said the Bible, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And some Bibles use the Byzantine manuscript, the word of Christ. There are two manuscripts. The Sinaitical manuscript use the word God, Deo, and the Byzantine manuscript, the Roman Catholic Church use, has the word Christ. It doesn't matter because Christ is God. So the Bible says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing not so much what a man said or what a church said, but the word of God. My friend, that's what Satan is against this book. Is against this book. Because this book will lead you to God. And God, in a mystical way that I don't understand, will create faith in you. And the thing that you said, now cannot be, will be. If you read the book and look to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you taught us to have faith in you. I confess to you, sometimes we do things on our own and we fail. So Father, we pray that you will touch our life in such a way that we will do only what you said. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. That was very good. Now, boys, you have to get one for me, all right? Now, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. One time I was in a hospital in Argentina, and a lady needs to fix the wrist, have a car accident, needs the arm, so we had to tie the lady, you know, like this, cannot move, the other arm also. And she said, what can I do? And I said, there was a believer. And I said, be still and know that I am God. Later on, a lady wrote to me and said, that verse gave me enthusiasm and gave me courage for life. Be still and know that I am God. We have the refreshment right after this morning. And then after we do that, there is instructions in the city of Gilroy. We will have the baptism. I'm so glad for these three who have a step. And if somebody else is in line, please let me know. We still have plenty of water to baptize you. All right? So there will be no much. We will not hold you down either. All right? So will you stand, please, for prayer? Lord, we love you. Some of your instructions are very hard. Because we are built with a will full of sin who want to do whatever we want to do. Psychology said, be yourself. And you said, be me. Lord, you are right when you said that as the heavens are separated from the earth, so that's our thinking. We think in this world and you think in a measure way above our mind. Lord, we pray as believers that you will revive in us that spirit of doing what you said. And we pray for those who are unbelievers that they may start reading the scripture without any worries. Because one day, I'm sure of this, they will believe. Thank you, Father, for David who had believed a few weeks ago. Thank you for Devin and for Christina. And now, Father, as we do the baptism later on, may the glory of Christ be seen in their life, that you may guide their steps, bless their families, because these people really believe. Thank you, Lord. They believe is not just an action, it's the whole being of our life. Bless us with that power, that we may believe you in everything you said. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.